Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life.
Let me invite you to open your Bibles tonight to Judges chapter 16. Each one of us has a particular area or areas of struggle in our lives, points at which we are especially vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. And it's a wise Christian who is able to discover and guard that area or areas of weakness. Judas would have done well early on to watch and be careful in the area of greed for money. Jacob would have done well to guard himself in the area that he struggled with, his propensity to tell lies. Well, Samson's Achilles heel was his unbridled sexual lust. That was his big problem. That was his struggle throughout his life. And for years, Satan toyed with Samson. He softened him up, and he got him ready for the fatal blow that he would inflict upon that judge of God there in Israel. Now, Samson failed to understand the truth of God, as is recorded in the passage that Tyler read for us at the beginning. There in just verse 7 of Galatians 6, and you don't need to turn there, there are three short, succinct statements. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Samson had a time bomb ticking inside of him because of this unbridled lust, and the detonator that Satan would use was a bombshell by the name of Delilah. And you're all familiar with that story of Samson and Delilah, and so we want to see how he fell prey to Satan and some other things along the way. Look here in Judges chapter 6, first of all, down in verse 4. And we're going to have to move quickly and leave out some parts of the story in order to get it all done. Samson was a mighty warrior. He was a thorn in the side of the Philistines who had risen up, oppressed God's people. He was the deliverer that God sent. And we're going to look especially, though, at this story of Samson and Delilah tonight. Here in chapter 16, verse 4, we read, "Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, 'See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver.' So Delilah said to Samson, 'Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued.' And Samson answered her, 'If anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man.' Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, 'You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied.' He said, 'If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man.' So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then, with men hidden in the room, she called out to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, 'Until now you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. tell me how you can be tied. And he replied, if you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man. So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head and wove them into the fabric and tightened it with a pin. And again she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. And then she said to him, how can you say, I love you, when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. And with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. Well, that's a good description, isn't it? So, in verse 17, as amazing as it seems, this simpleton of a man told her everything. No razor, he said, has ever been used on my head because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back once more, he has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands, and having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Some of the saddest words in all of Scripture. Then the Philistine seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now, Samson, this story, we didn't have time to read all of it. This story occurs after he had just stopped by for a visit to a prostitute. I mean, that's how unbridled his sexual lust was. He's in love with this woman. He'll do anything for her, as we've just seen. But you wonder, how could anyone be so blind? How could anyone be so stupid when he saw repeatedly what she was attempting to do, and to finally give her all the information that would cause his downfall? There used to be a show on television. You guys are too young to remember it. It was Gomer Pyle. And some of you remember Gomer Pyle. He should have learned from the Gomer Pyle School of Philosophy. Gomer used to say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. He was fooled 3 times. And he continued to give her the information in the end. Well, it happened as a progression. And it's the downward spiral of sin. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul talks about how unbridled sin of any nature can lead in this downward spiral. There Paul says in Romans 1 and verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made that look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. And you see that statement made several occasions there in those same verses, where God gives people over and they drop to even lower depths, and he gives them over again and they continue in the downward spiral. That's what Satan will do to any of us if we allow whatever our struggles are with him to go unchecked. Samson allowed his area of weakness to go unchecked, and he fell hard. Sin can become so deeply entrenched in our lives that we will do things that we could earlier never have imagined doing. We're capable of thinking to depths that today we would deny that we would ever be able to think to. Satan deceives us. He whispers in our ears things like, no one will ever know. You're smart. You won't get caught. Nobody will be hurt. And those are lies of Satan. Let me tell you the truth. The truth is this. It's recorded in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27. And it's recorded in a question form. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? The answer is no. Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? The answer is no. So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. Let me tell you something, folks. You cannot be careful enough to avoid the consequences of secret sin in your life. Sin that goes unchecked. You can't be careful enough to keep that hidden always. It's only a matter of time. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 24, we're told the sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment before them. The sins of others trail behind them. But folks, it all comes out in the end. In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 22, that truth contained there could easily have been addressed to Samson. There in Proverbs 7:22, we see the picture of a young man who was so enthralled with a loose woman whose husband was out of town that she called him and he followed. And it says this, all at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now, it's true that God has a plan for every one of our lives. But it is also true that Satan has a plan on the other side of the coin for every one of your lives. And Satan begins by getting you to believe a lie. And so that's why that passage that we began with is so critically important. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it starts out by saying, do not be deceived. That's where it all starts. Satan lied to Eve in the garden. He deceived her. And it's through deceit that we all fall prey to Satan. So do not be deceived. That's the first point there. Not only was Samson deceived, he treated with disdain things which are holy. His strength came because of his Nazarite vow from his childhood. He'd grown up and he had made a vow to God that he would not cut his hair, among other things. Strong drink would never touch his lips. The things that are part of the Nazarite vow. And we talked this morning about how critically important God views vows and those who make vows. And he says it's better not to make a vow than to make one and break it. And he had made this sacred vow to God that he would not allow a razor to touch his head. He would not cut his hair. You know, there are some things that we ought not to mess around with. There are some things that are too sacred to even joke about. I don't like movies or comedians that joke about the cross of Jesus Christ. I don't like jokes that are made with God as part of the whole butt of the story. I don't like jokes that are told about sin and what sin does to people's lives. Those are not things that are humorous to me. Samson placed his relationship with God on the line by sharing things that were sacred, by treating the sacred as common. And each time he got closer to the truth, as Delilah kept on nagging and nagging and nagging. He started with those rawhide strips, and then he went to new rope, and then he said, if you'll weave my hair. And finally, he told her. He told her about his vow to God, that he said he'd never cut his hair. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6 tells us what we're to do with people like Delilah. And there are a lot of people that will nag you and nag you and nag you into doing the things that you know you ought not to do. There are evil companions that will continue to put pressure on you. But in Matthew 7 verse 6, we're told, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not cast your pearls before swine. You see, when we become Christians, we become the Lord's exclusive property. Our minds and our bodies belong to Him and to Him alone. And to allow Satan to have his way with either our minds or our bodies is to treat that which is holy and dedicated to God with disdain. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul wrote, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. No, Samson treated lightly a thing that was holy, and in doing so, he mocked God. He forgot one thing, and that is that God will not be mocked. And finally, there was the accounting that this judge of God, this otherwise great man with this one terrible weakness, had to face. The story ends in a very tragic way. He is subdued by the Philistines. They immediately put his eyes out. He can no longer go on those raids against the Philistine and come back victorious over large numbers of them. He's blinded. He's been disabled. And he is now hitched up to a mill wheel like an ox trading out the corn. And he has put to public ridicule. Here's the great strong man that used to come in and terrorize our people, and now he's treated as an animal there grinding out the corn. But he does finish his life with one mighty act of deliverance. You remember the story, how there as his hair slowly began to grow. They didn't take notice of that. They'd forgotten that was the source of his strength. And they had him there in the temple of their God between the pillars. And there he was chained, and he pushed and pushed those pillars. And in one final moment of glory, he killed more Philistines than he'd killed in all of his earlier days put together. Now, let me just make application. This is a fairly familiar story. And I know in a group this size that some of you are more than likely caught up in some trap of Satan, and you're involved in some secret sin known only to you and Satan and God. And some of you are not dealing with sin that maybe you and your immediate family know about, and you're not dealing with it in the same way that Samson refused to deal with it. And I want to just ask you a question, if that describes you. What do you think God's going to do? Do you think God will just sit idly and twiddle his thumbs and then on the day of judgment say, you shouldn't have done that, and send you into an eternal hell? Do you think he'll just sit idly waiting for your death so he can punish you? Or do you think that he might just try to do something to get your attention before you reach that judgment seat? I know how I react as a parent. I think you know how all parents react. If you see your child playing with matches, do you just stand back and say, well, let them learn their lesson? No, you intervene. You punish if necessary. You discipline that child to prevent a greater, more fatal harm befalling them. And let me tell you what I believe with all my heart. I believe we have a God who has gone on record and says he does discipline his children, and he's not willing that any perish, and he's patient with us, and he's patient with us, and he gives us time to come to repentance, and if necessary, he will intervene in our lives, and he'll bring us low, and he'll expose us, and he'll shame us. And I believe he'll do that. He does it because that's how much he loves us. Listen to what the verse said one last time. We're going to read it for the last time. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Folks, if you're playing with fire right now, you will reap the penalties of that, maybe sooner than you realize. God loves you too much to let you destroy yourself without a fight. You know, I hope that all of us will deal seriously with the struggles we have with Satan. Don't wait for God to humble you. Don't wait for God to expose you in your sin. Don't wait for God to bring you down, because he will. Humble yourself. Do it voluntarily. Get on your knees and ask God to help you deal through his power and through his strength with whatever area of struggle you have. And you know, if you will admit your own sinfulness, he will give you the strength and the power to overcome anything that Satan can throw against you. He is more powerful than the evil one. Now, poor Samson ended in a tragic way. And I see too many people who even start out in the Christian life, and you do too, who don't end well. There are too many that don't end well, and I don't want to see those numbers grow within our church family. Let's deal seriously with the sin and the battle that we have here among us. If you're here this evening and you need prayer in some area of your life, you know, a lot of times when we pray for people, people come and they confess about some struggle that they have, and often people are very specific about that, and that's wonderful if they are. But let me just tell you, sometimes you need prayers for things that are very personal, and it's not a bad thing to come and just say, I'm having some personal struggles in my life, and that's all I'm going to say, but I need your prayers. And we'll respect that, and we'll honor that, and we'll pray for you. If you need prayer from God's people, there is no more powerful antidote to sin than to have a bunch of righteous people praying on your behalf to the Father. If we can do that for you tonight, we would love to do that. If anyone needs to respond tonight, like Abby did this morning, to own her Lord and Savior in baptism, we would be delighted to see that happen too. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand.